We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. It's all Pelicans, all the time.
What's up, guys? We're joined by Coach Mike G with the Pelicans. He's been posting some awesome content this summer. Hopefully you guys have had a chance to check him out. What's good with you, Coach Mike?
What's up, man? I'm just happy to be here. Thank you so much. I'm honored.
Yeah, we're honored to have you, man. This is awesome that you're doing this. Just been meaning to ask you, how are you enjoying the LA life?
I tell you what, I was a military brat growing up, so that put me in a bunch of different environments. Being in the South, Alabama, Georgia, even Germany and Colorado, but there's nothing like home. There's nothing like sunny California. So in shorter terms, man, it's been amazing.
That's awesome. I really, you know, I was in Cali myself this summer and made it a short trip. We hit up L.A., hit up Vegas for a while, hit up the Grand Canyon.
There you go.
Really, I really enjoyed my time out there, so I definitely feel that.
So you already know what it is.
So for those who don't know who you are, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit, basically explain us what your role is and, you know, how you got your start in the field.
Absolutely. My name is Mike Guevara. I am a performance consultant / performance coach. I like to say performance coach because I feel strength and conditioning coach just puts me in a pigeonhole that doesn't quite speak to the array of skill set that I possess or that I help people with. And what that basically means is, yes, I do help people in the weight room for strength training and developing physical preparation and whatnot, but that's just a part of what I do. I also create recovery strategies, whether that's from games, practices, flights, doesn't matter. Anytime our body is stressed through any type of physical, external physical outcome, I create solutions to recover from those specific situations. I also do sleep strategies. Sleep is a big part of recovery, so it would just make sense for me to know something about that. And then also performance nutrition as well as recovery nutrition. So that's what I do. That's who I am. Currently I am Drew Holiday, starting shooting guard for the New Orleans Pelicans, personal performance coach. So I'm like his little Asian shadow that kind of follows him around everywhere. And that also opened up a door to do some consulting work with the New Orleans Pelicans, his team, obviously. And it's been a hell of a ride. Last year was my first season, and we got to get to the second round. Fell a little short against Golden State, but nonetheless was a great first rookie year for me. And, yeah, that's kind of what I do currently.
You touched on a lot of topics that I'm hoping to get to later on. So there's a lot to unpack there. I'm looking forward to get to it. But I want to start with your connection with Drew. It seems like, you know, you've known him the last, what, 7-8 years or so. How did you guys meet? How did you guys get it going?
So when I first started in the game, you know, the training game, I did what most people do, intern. You know, you try to put yourself in a position to learn from the best and to get exposed to an array of different populations athletically, as well as get exposed to different coaches to learn from. And one of the facilities that I inquired for an internship was called the Factory Training in Westlake Village, California, which is, I want to say, maybe 20 minutes north of what you would call L.A. Mm-hmm. And this facility was special in a sense that they mostly trained NFL and NBA athletes. So naturally, I was gravitated towards that. I'm a big, you know, sports guy. So that seemed to be a good fit for me. And he was one of the programs that I assisted on. I never really led a program with him my initial first year with him. But that gave me an opportunity to be not really the voice of authority, more or less just like kind of someone that he could vibe with and hang out with and kick it with during training sessions. I was the guy that kind of set the weights up, that organized the floor, that got them towels, got them water if they needed it, with pleasure too, because I understood that that was my role, and you have to be a good role player before you're a good leader. So he and I just really vibed. You know, I pride myself on being able to identify with anybody, and I feel like communication is the number one skill set in this field, and I'm a good communicator, whether that's with an 19-year-old NBA rookie or a 50-year-old senior who's trying to learn how to walk again. So that's been a very valuable skill for me, and that's kind of what initially started Drew and I's relationship.
That's awesome. I feel like oftentimes people overlook the communication aspect because, you know, you have to both be able to foster that trust between you and the person you're working with.
Yeah.
But also, you know, explain to them, because some of the things that you guys are doing may not come intuitively, you know?
And that's the art right there. You know, it's actually being defined as the science now, because a lot of guys in our field are developing curriculum of communication skill and actually systematizing how to communicate and use cues for athletes. But it's also a bit of an art in the sense that you can't really teach someone how to vibe with someone from Compton. You can't really teach that, right? or on the flip side of that, someone that's from Calabasas. You know, two totally different types of people based off of socioeconomics, based off of demographic, age demographic, what have you, culture in general. And again, I feel like that's probably one of my stronger talents. I know how to talk to both of those types of people, so it's been very valuable and beneficial for me.
That's dope. So we all know the NBA season is a grind, and the off season is sometimes a reprieve from that grind. But how do you focus in the off season, building towards the regular season, and how does that sort of shift as you approach the season itself?
It's a very heavy question to answer, but I'm going to do my best.
Yeah,
because there's just so many different variables that go into that situation. But to simply put it in one sentence, and this is what Drew Holiday will tell you, and anyone that I work with will tell you, is that we train. My goal is to provide an environment during the off season that surpasses any type of physical or mental demand that he will experience in the season. And it's very easily put: train hard, game easy. And for me, the game is the fun part. The game is what we look forward to. The game is where we get to showcase all of the hard work that we put in during the off season, and that's what we kind of look forward to. We kind of get to unleash all of the fruits of the labor, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly my goal. I want Drew and whoever I'm working with this summer to feel something physically and mentally so strenuous that when they get to the game, it's like, oh, this is nothing. Like, this is what I live for, and that's my goal.
When you phrase it as a goal, I assume that you're trying to, along the way, measure, you know, progression, measure how much better you've
gotten
or how far you've come. Are there any type of metrics? I'm not saying, like, from a stats standpoint, but I guess how do you measure your progression? How do you set those benchmarks? Like, okay, we've cleared this threshold. What do you work towards? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of different modalities and tools. Technology has given us a brand new scope to look at training and to actually measure those types of things and objectify whether or not you are actually surpassing game-like lows and or demands. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be 100% honest. First of all, in order to truly quantify game-like lows, you need some type of objective measure from how hard the game is on the body. And we don't really have that right now. We do have some stats that the NBA provides us through, you know, high-speed cameras that every arena has in the rafters of each arena. Mm-hmm. But I'm not 100% versed on how those stats are created, which means that I don't know how to compare any type of other type of technology to it, if you will. It's not really comparing apples to apples because I don't have access to the technology that the NBA uses to create their metrics.
Gotcha.
So I don't really know how hard the game truly is outside of subjective information, which is Drew Holiday. How hard was the game? How do you feel? On a scale of 1 to 10, this, you know, the game being, you know, game 5 of series 2 against Golden State, you played 46 minutes, almost the full game. You didn't almost come out, right?
Right.
If that's a 10, what's our training session like? And these are the types of methods that I use based off of pure subjectivity, which is enough for me because Drew knows his, you know, he knows his body the best. He knows how hard he goes. He knows how much effort he's putting in, and I'm going to trust that. So when we review sessions and when we review practice, you know, on court type stuff, these are the types of questions that we're talking about. You know, how hard was that practice? How hard was the lift? How, you know, what type of effort did we come in with? You know, and that's kind of how I can create that environment. And then also, I've been doing this for 9 years, mm-hmm. training, you know, high-level athletes, and I've been with Drew Holiday personally for 8 years, and I know him, and I can watch him and tell just by watching him and his body language what type of shape he's in, what type of effort he's giving, what type of fatigue he's enduring, and I can kind of make my own notes and my own conclusions based off of that. So that's pretty much how I can really try to replicate those types of game time demands in our training. And then at the end of the day, the NBA season doesn't require athletes to train twice a day. And we're doing two-a-days every single day, whether it's in the pool, whether it's boxing, whether it's at a trampoline park, doesn't really matter. But we're training twice a day. I'm putting him through two sessions per day. And that, by definition, is already going to be more than what he's enduring during the season.
Definitely. So I work in the healthcare software field, and sharing information, collecting data is huge. Do you feel like that's the sort of next frontier when it comes to defining, you know, the data the NBA captures versus the data you guys capture, basically standardizing that information and putting it, presenting it in a way that's easy to digest for everyone?
I think we're a few years away from that, and there's two reasons why. Number one, they're going to simplify it, and that's going to take a little bit of time. And then number two, there's some politics that goes behind that in terms of the CBA, what players want people to have access to in terms of information. it's just this whole other can of worms that doesn't even relate to what you and I are talking about, just physical performance and information. So we're a few years away from that. However, with someone like Jrue Holiday, we do utilize technology on an individual level, on a off-season training level, where I'm measuring heart rate variability, I'm measuring sleep quantity and quality, and I'm measuring force output in the weight room. So there are modalities and technology that we definitely take advantage of that gives me objective data that's going to help me navigate this quest through the offseason. It's just, again, trying to figure out, well, game time or game day demands are this. My 36 minutes is going to be different from your 36 minutes because I might play defense at level 7 and you might play defense at level 10. So minutes is just a small glimpse of how stressful a game is because everyone doesn't cover the same amount of distance. Everyone doesn't put in the same amount of effort on whatever side of floor or what have you. Multifactorial situation, right? However, from an off-season training standpoint, absolutely, I utilize technology.
And it's clear that it pays off because I'm pretty sure when you look at some of the data on Jrue, he like was among the leaders in miles run and in minutes played. And I think that's hell of a progression, you know, from years where he's had to focus on recovering to come out last year and do what he did, play the way he did on the floor. Like, that's big stuff.
I'll tell you what, he was fantastic last season, as everyone has witnessed. But that metric alone kind of made me smile a little bit more than any of them because he led the league in miles traveled or was second or something like that. Mm-hmm. And this is a quote, okay? Literally after game 5 of the last of the series against Golden State, the last game of the season, pretty much. He played 46 and a half minutes. We're on the table doing our cool down. And I'm like, so, how do you feel? And he looked at me and he says, Mike G, I feel like I can keep going. So for him to say that to me as his, you know, his performance coach, after 46 and a half minutes played in game 5 of the last game of the season, I'm like, well, I guess we did our job, didn't we? So, you know, that was a moment for me personally, just because that was our goal, was just to be able to sustain a high level for the whole season, stay healthy, and do it at a high level.
For sure. You mentioned sort of putting in the grind in the off season that makes it tough, more tougher than anything they'll experience during the season. How do you structure it so they're not reaching the point of burnout? They're not, you know, mentally or physically getting fatigued to where you still want it to be enjoyable for them, challenging and rewarding?
Man, I love these questions because they're so pertainable. You know what? That's probably one of the differences that I feel makes me kind of stand out from everybody else is I'm always trying to be outside the box for that particular reason that you just mentioned. Burnout, mental boredom, all these other types of superlatives that you can put in that same type of category. Keep it exciting, keep it novel, keep it fresh, keep it fun. You know, I can only motivate through my words so much. It has to be something that's going to jog a little bit of mental excitement, right? So I bring other guys in, or gals. What do I mean? We'll do beach volleyball, and I'll have a woman volleyball player come in and teach us how to play women's volleyball in the sand, who is much better at coaching it than I am. We will have a striking coach come in, basically someone that's a part of the MMA world, come in and teach us how to throw our hands and the footwork and the timing and the coordination that can be applicable to pretty much any sport. We go to trampoline parks, like I mentioned before, where we're literally just playing. But because you're jumping around on these massive trampolines, hanging on stuff, rock climbing, you know, doing ninja warrior courses, this is a training stimulus. And, you know, I can't forget the pool. I love the pool because it's a gravityless environment that has no load on the body, but we still get a cardiovascular adaptation for stimulus. and we play games in the pool. So there it's pretty much limited to your imagination. And I try to be very, very thoughtful in my approach and at the same time structured. Like, I'm not just doing any old thing. Like, I put some thought into what we got to do so that it makes sense. But it is very important that anyone that's working with athletes, you got to keep it fun. You got to keep it fresh so that, again, you don't fall into that pitfall of, man, I don't want to pick this weight up, or I don't want to, you know, jump around, or I don't want to, you know, lift these weights. Like, it's very important, and I'm glad that you asked, because I love shedding light on that type of situation.
You mentioned the pool, man. I am awful. I do my best to not drown, basically. I grew up running as a cross country and track runner, and anything you take me off the land, I'm basically useless.
And that's funny, because we had two guys that were working out with us that were the same exact way, like literally feared the pool. And by the end of the summer, they could swim.
There we go.
I said to him, "Hey, I bet you didn't know that this summer he's gonna learn how to swim, huh?" So it was kind of cool. Like,
it may sound silly to you, but it's like, I gotta move my feet and my hands at the same time. I can do that when I'm running, but you know, I forget a kick when I'm swimming.
Yeah, that makes sense. So hey, trust me, you're not alone. These two guys that were with me this past off season, if you would have saw them their first day in the pool, you'd have been like, "Ah, maybe this ain't a good idea." But I think that there's a value to be putting people in a little uncomfortable situations. So
definitely. So sort of the second part of working out, you know, is not only to get better, but there's a huge injury prevention component to it, and especially, you know, with the season being as long as it is. What are some of the things you focus on to make sure, you know, the guys are ready to grind for 82 plus the playoffs?
I mean, the fact of the matter is, good training is injury prevention. And what I mean by that is, if you're checking most of the boxes that you need to be checking based off of sound strength training, that's going to check the same boxes as injury prevention. Now, that being said, every guy is going to be different. Every guy's going to have different types of movement deficiencies that you want to cater to individually, and every guy's going to have different types of goals. So when you watch an athlete move in his or her sport, you want to be very, very appreciative of how they move, but also at the same time realize the different ways that you can make their movement better on the court through the weight room or through exercise. So one of the things that I'm a big proponent of is feet. And I really believe that, or training the feet rather, and I really believe that a strong mobile foot is going to equate to a strong body. If your feet are strong, 9 times out of 10, your whole body's going to be strong. And I put a big emphasis on that throughout the entire offseason as well as through the end season. And I'm getting guys out of their shoes and out of their socks so that they can feel the ground, so that they can feel how their toes move and bend, so they can feel how their ankles move and bend. And it's like a bang for buck thing. Like, you get someone out of their socks and shoes and let them feel the ground, a lot of good things can happen. And also, as a coach, you get to see much more than you would if they had their shoes on the whole time. So based off of being around basketball players a lot, usually basketball feet aren't very good. They don't move very well. They're not very strong. And getting guys out of their shoes and socks has been a big, big success for us and for me individually. So that's a little secret that I share with everybody out there. Get people out of their socks and shoes and let them train barefoot a little bit.
Have you read the book Born to Run? It's based on the same principle where it argues, you know, we're naturally born to run barefoot. And I think it was one of the pioneers behind the whole, like, barefoot running movement and stuff. But it basically perpetuates a lot of what you're saying, is that we naturally learn to run when we don't have our shoes on.
It's not a coincidence that Kenyans are the best runners in the world. And since coming out, they run barefoot their entire lifespan. In my opinion, that's not, I mean, obviously the altitude helps too, but but it's not a coincidence to me. Like, you know, if you're consistently put in an environment where you're forced to run 4 foot because you don't have shoes, the foot's going to be strong. You're going to adapt to that. And now what do we have? We have a bunch of champion Kenyan marathoners. So that's exactly what I mean.
That's amazing. So I feel like, you know, the second component of injury prevention is, and you mentioned, you know, you're a fan of monitoring this stuff, but is managing sleep. And with all the travel that happens during the season, the back-to-backs, the flights, and all of that, do you find that, you know, guys struggle to sleep properly? And not even just guys. It might be tough on the coaching staff.
Yeah, so we try to be very cognizant of overnight flights. You know, there's a lot of study out there that has to do with sleep and performance where people have actually quantified losing an average of an hour and a half of sleep over the course of a week brings your free throw percentage down like 6 percentage points.
Whoa.
Like, people have done these studies, and that's, for me, mind-blowing and such a powerful driver to motivate people to get some sleep as well as avoid overnight flights. So that's number one. But number two, it's just trying to educate guys and gals or whomever about sleep environment, about nutrition and how it affects sleep, about naps, and really just trying to put people in the best position possible to get quality sleep when possible. Because I just feel like it's not talked about enough. It's actually being talked about more and more these days, but it's still in its infancy, if you will.
Right.
And that was a really big driver for me last season to our team was, you know, if not the most important thing to us from a recovery performance standpoint, sleep is going to be so important in shooting percentage. Like, there is statistics out there that prove this. And when we start to put those types of numbers and relate it to basketball, to anyone that plays basketball, they're going to listen to you a little bit closer. So, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, 6% is crazy. You know, you shoot 100 free throws, that's 6 points. And 6 points is it could be the difference in a game, you know? Each point's
absolutely.
That's pretty crazy. Now, you know, along with sleeping well, people got to eat right, too. How much do you personally do with the nutrition aspect, and then how much does that combine into, again, the whole performance training?
Yeah, so in regards to Drew, I am a little gnat at a barbecue. I bugged the heck out of him about his nutrition. I have to be careful because I don't want to be too annoying, because then he'll really start to tune me out. But I have to be realistic with myself as well. He has a child. You know what I mean? So for me to expect him to be perfect with his nutrition is just not realistic. But that being said, he does listen. And sometimes I present him with different nutrition options that really he just looks at me and takes. For instance, you know, after a game, I'll give him a watermelon juice because it's been proven to help with muscle fatigue and recovery. And he doesn't ask or say anything. He just takes it and drinks it. So he's pretty good about those types of things. He takes shakes. You know, we do a protein shake that has special ingredients in it that help with expedite with recovery and, you know, trying to make sure that he bounces back from the games. But in terms of, like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we outsource to a chef that controls really – The main job of her is to make sure the food tastes good, and then I try to guide her in what types of ingredients that she would like to use. But at the end of the day, she's got to make it taste good, and sometimes, you know, there's some ingredients in there that I necessarily wouldn't approve of, but at the same time, it's better than going to, I don't know, some type of fast food restaurant. It's better than going out to eat. It's better than, yeah, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, at least he's getting a home-cooked meal that has good stuff in it, but also tastes really good and has a little bit of bad stuff in it. So,
do you feel like it's harder to do actually, in New Orleans where, you know, the food is meant to be very heavy?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, anytime you go out to eat, it's going to be New Orleans style, obviously, which means it's going to be a lot of stuff that you probably won't want for one of your athletes. But we have a chef who sources all her ingredients from the grocery store, and obviously there's a Whole Foods out in New Orleans too, so she goes to the grocery store and buys and chefs up meals that are delicious and nutritious. So, but I will come to the crib and see, you know, some beignets on the table, or see, I don't know, some, you know, some fried chicken, which is like, cool, you know, 80-20, right? 80% discipline, 20% splurge, so it's normal.
Is there anything that, you know, Drew didn't particularly eat before that you've introduced and he's incorporated into his diet where he was kind of wary of it before?
Yeah, lots of things. I mean, you know, just through more resource and more education of how food and how herbs and how certain things can help with recovery, you know, as I learn, he learns, right? So, you know, we're doing turmeric shots. We're doing wellness shots before the plane to prevent being sick. We're doing collagen. We're doing, you know, all bone broth. We're doing all types of things that he obviously never grew up ingesting consciously, right? But again, it's as I learn, he learns. And if there's some good literature behind these claims, I'm going to propose it to him, and either he'll take it or not. So
that's pretty cool, man. So I feel like one of the things that's gotten fans most hype watching your social media is Frank Jackson. And, you know, we've been watching him basically jump out the gym and battle against Drew and Justin and even Alfred. What are your thoughts on Frank, man? What can we expect from him this year?
Number one, Frank is a better human being than athlete, and I mean that from the heart. He's such a good kid. He's humble. He's respectful. He's coachable. And he really loves and looks up to Drew, which is a great role model to look up to. So that's number one. I need people to know and understand that. Number two, what can we expect from him? Albeit, there are so many factors that's going to dictate what we see on the floor, right? Things that I don't know about, things that I don't necessarily have information about, which will get him onto the floor. That is yet to be determined. However, if he does get on the floor and catches a rhythm for himself and is able to showcase what he has been able to this summer with us, look out. He is one of the best athletes I've ever been around. And I've been around quite a few. I actually trained number one in the world in tennis. So this is a big statement for me. And I stand by that statement wholeheartedly. He is phenomenal. And how do I define an athlete? Outside of the ability to learn any type of movement task, he does that extremely well. He plays everything, golf, tennis. He swims. He can play football. He played baseball. He does everything at a high level. He can jump. He can run. He can stop on a dime. He can sprint. He can do everything. It's like Bo Jackson, right? Bo knows everything. Well, hey, Frank Jackson knows everything. And I'm not gassing. Like, I really believe that. A lot of people already know that as well. And Drew Holiday calls him a mutant. So there you have it.
Dude, we're excited, you know, just from the limited window that we've had through the lens of an Instagram filter, it's been unreal because, you know, we saw him at Summer League, and unfortunately he only got to play 13 minutes, but you know, he put up as many points as the minutes he played, and sure, he looked unguardable out there at times, you know, in that 13 minute stretch. So he's tantalizing. That's the way I want to put it. Can't wait to see him.
Tantalizing. I love that. That's a great word. Absolutely. Tantalizing.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. So there seems like there's a group of people out there. Obviously, Drew is with the family and Justin and his younger brother.
Sure.
Frank's out there now. How'd you guys get about getting Alfred out there? And even Rondo, it looks like.
Well, truth be told, Sports Academy is a haven, a safe haven for pro NBA guys to come and play. So, you know, you'll see all types of pros in there. And it just happened to be that Alfred was in L.A. Obviously, he's on our team. We reach out to him. He comes out and plays. And then Rondo is in L.A., so he caught wind that we were playing. Yeah, he's in L.A. now, so he caught wind we were playing, and he's joined a few times. But and Solo as well. Solo's obviously on our team as well. So, you know, the fact that there were several Pelicans playing together and playing against each other was phenomenal for me. And at the end of the day, it's ones, twos, and threes, guys being competitive, getting after it, and making each other better. And that's just kind of how it played out. Our core group was Frank, Drew, Justin, Aaron, Mike James, and his brother, Devontae. Mm-hmm. But the other guys just kind of fell in as they did, and it worked out really well. So that was just a blessing for me, in my opinion. But our core group went into the gym day in, day out, pushed each other, and made each other better. I got a saying called GBG, and that means greatness breeds greatness, and that's exactly what it was. You know, if Drew Holiday's going to be great, guess what? Justin's going to step his game up to be great, which means, guess what? Frank's going to step his game up to be great. So they all just pushed each other, fed off each other, and it was a really fun time to be around because it's a bunch of super-duper athletic dudes going at it, and what more could you ask for?
That's got to be amazing to watch. I keep telling people that, you know, Frank going against the guy that just got first team all defense.
And right.
Scoring buckets, like, that's going to make him better.
giving him work.
Right.
Absolutely. Yep. Greatness breeds greatness. That's simple.
Word. So I think we're going to get close to wrap it up. I'm going to ask you a couple fun questions. And,
cool.
You know, we'll take it from there. So first things first. What are your predictions for this year in terms of the Pelicans?
I'm not gonna put any objectivity on it, but I will say this. I am extremely excited about our team. I'm extremely excited about Alfred because I've got a chance to get to know him and be around him this summer and love the kid. Extremely excited to work with him. Haven't been around Randall yet, so we'll see when I get back to New Orleans. And I'll have an opinion on that. But if you look at the team from a whole, it's a bunch of guys that just go and work. You know what I mean? Like, just blue. I don't want to say blue collar because it kind of puts a connotation of like, oh, they don't all they're known for is just hard nosed work. But because we got some skill too. However, but my point is that's the personality. And the type of tone I feel like we could set, guys play defense and lock up on our team, and that's exciting in this day and age. So for me, I'm very optimistic. I think that we'll do just fine. I think that we'll outperform the predictors because they always seem to put us, you know, lower than we should be, and that's fine. Yeah, that's cool. You know, like AD said, keep sleeping on us. Let them sleep. You know what I'm saying? We're going to wake y'all up fast.
Yeah. I feel like between Drew and AD, someone's bringing home the Defensive Player of the Year award this year. That's my shot that I'm calling.
I love that. Man, if that happens, I'm calling you right away and saying, when are we going to dinner?
For real. No, I think I saw AD, he was doing an interview with someone. They're like, yeah, we're going to call you for MVP this year. And he's like, I'm calling it myself. And I'm like, damn.
Oh.
So that's pretty exciting to see. So besides training and working out constantly, what's something fun that you did this summer that you want to talk about?
Something fun that I did this summer. Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I made it a really, really important point for me to spend time with my family in the Bay Area. You know, being on the road all the time, being so interested in trying to get my career off the ground, I kind of lost touch from where I came from. A lot of my dad's family lives in Northern California, and you know, I made a point of it before the season ended. Like, I'm going to see my family as much as possible. I have nieces and nephews that are all 5 or younger, so I want to be a part of their life and be cool Uncle Mike. And that's exactly what I did. I went out to the Bay Area, Northern California area, at least once a month, got to hang out with them, got to be cool Uncle Mike and throw them around in the pool and, you know, create that relationship that, you know, I'm not just an NBA performance coach. I'm also somebody that really has big time family values, and that kind of kept me grounded and kept me humble. So that was important for me.
Man, that's awesome. I'm really glad you got to do that, because, you know, at the end of the day, there's more to life than basketball, and, you know, we
sure.
Play every day. And well, speaking sure. of which, you get to hang out with Lil JT.
Oh, Lil JT, yeah. You know, I always tell her, you and me are gonna be best friends in like 3 or 4.
When's she on the schedule to start working out?
Yeah, exactly. You know, because she's already jumping on the trampoline. We got mini trampolines. She's already jumping on the mini trampoline. She can sprint already. She can jump and land. And she, you know, her genes are got to be something special, because her mom is obviously Lauren Chaney right. from United States national team, one of the best players in the world. And then obviously Jrue Holiday. So I'm excited to she'll probably take the crown as the best athlete I've ever worked with by far. So that'll be cool.
So one last thing, where can people find you on social media? Where can they watch all these cool highlights of Frank and Jrue and Justin?
Yeah, man, check me out on Instagram at Mr. Do It Moving. That is where majority of my content is posted. I'm working on a website right now. It's just slow motion. I'm not heavy on Twitter, but I am there. Same handle, at Mr. Do It Moving. And that's pretty much it. You know, check me out. I'm all about sharing. I'm all about discussion. Ask me a question. I always respond. I appreciate the love and support.
Well, we appreciate you doing this. This has been an amazing content-filled podcast. So
yeah,
thanks for coming on.
Anytime. Oh, 100. I can't wait. And thank you for asking me. I'm really, really it was a pleasure for me to do this with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll have to do it again sometime in the season.
Yes, sir. All-star break. Check back in with me.
Oh, for sure. Go.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G. Because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.